Welcome to those of you who are here. I'm Karen Torgaley. I work at the Public Health Informatics Institute. And for those of you who don't know, the Institute is here. It's about 5 miles away. And we are a part of the Task Force for Global Health. One of the things that we do at the Institute is work with state and local health departments on helping them with their information systems. So we help them to manage and apply information systems, and we're big believers in collaboration to do that. We're a nonprofit also. So one of the programs that we have is called Connections. It's a community of practice. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. There's about 20 states, and one of the things that they do is talk about ways to integrate child health information systems. So that's a big focus of the group. And out of that community of practice came the business case model that we're going to be talking about today. So what are we going to do today? We're going to define the business case for integration. We're going to explain the benefits of how the business case model works, and then the fun part will come at the end when we demonstrate the actual model. And after you leave today, you should be able to describe the rationale for developing a business case for integration, list health, programmatic, and financial effects of integration, and discuss the business case model assumptions and methodologies. So in other words, if you walk out of here and someone says to you in the hallway, what's a business case model and what does it have to do with integrating child health information systems, you will be able to tell them exactly because you will have been in this presentation. So if I were you and I was sitting there right now, I'd be wanting to know why all this should matter to me, what difference it makes in my work, and how I can use it in my work. So I'm going to start by telling you a story about how it did work for someone in a state health department. This particular group is in Indiana, and they were probably what you would call shovel-ready for integrating their child health information systems. And they knew that we had a business case model for documenting the benefits. So they called on us to see if we would come there and consult with them and help them out to show that there was a benefit in integrating their systems. So I went there and met with them and gave them sort of an overview of what the model was and how it works. And then we talked with each of the program people to see if they had any information that could be updated in the model to make it more accurate. And after I met with them, I went home and plugged the numbers into the model and ran the reports and sent them the report that gave a bunch of charts and graphs that showed the benefits of integration over a 5-year period. And it goes from the present time into the future so they could see what the value was for over time. So a few months ago, we called them and asked them how they had used this report. And as it happened, they had been called in by their budget people to justify their program of integration. They had 15 minutes to justify the program, and they needed to justify it so that their program wouldn't be cut, because that's what these budget people were looking to do. So what they said they did was took one chart and one graph from the business case model report that we sent them and printed it out for them and just showed it to them. And the numbers and the illustration convinced the budget people that this was a no-brainer, according to them, and that they should go ahead with their integration efforts. So he said it took less than 15 minutes because they had all that information pulled together and it clearly justified the benefits of integrating child health information systems. So that's just one of the stories. We're also now working with Oregon and Oklahoma. I've finished reports on them, and next we're going to work with Iowa and New York State. So there should be reports available soon from them. Now, just to set the stage for how the business case model came to be, we'll look at the situation in public health and the way it is now. So you know better than anyone, if you work in public health, that there are few or no linkages that exist among the information systems that we have. So information isn't shared with health providers, public health, social services, and families. and there is a lack of timely, complete, accurate health information. There may be duplicate or incomplete immunization screening and follow-up records. That may possibly lead to preventable illness and possible disabilities. And individuals, families, and society pay the price. So one thing we can do to remedy this situation is to make a good business case for integration of all the child health information systems. So how do you do that? How do you make a business case for integrating any health information system? This particular model is for child health, as we said, but models can be used for other things as well, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. To make a business case for integrating health information systems, you need to be specific about what return on investment can be expected. You need to reflect the difference in costs and benefits to the different stakeholder groups, because, of course, it's different from each of them. And reflect the fact that the benefits may not accrue until some time in the future. And that's always a hard sell, as you know. You know, you need to put some money in this now so that 5 years from now you can save $1 million. It's a hard sell because they don't have the money right now. So that's really tricky. And you need to describe the added effects resulting from integration. So how do you do that? And that's what we're asking ourselves at the Institute. It's one of the things we've been working on. And so what we did was, 5 years ago, our director, Dave Ross, who gave one of the plenary talks, and I think probably everybody in the public health world knows, decided that we needed to develop a mathematical model that could show the benefits of integration. And if you know Dave, you know that he's visionary, and there is no problem that he can't solve. So what he decided to do is develop this model using subject matter experts and people who were health economists to develop a mathematical model to show the benefits. So they gathered all the information from all the program areas related to child health. So they had immunization specialists, early hearing detection specialists, developmental, anything related to child health programs. They brought together to get ideas of what would need to go into this mathematical model to prove the benefits of integrating all of the systems and how they could interact and help each other so that they would have a better system in the end if it was integrated, to show the added benefits of integration. So that's kind of the business case for integrating systems. And now we're going to talk a little bit about models. And this next slide is probably my favorite definition for a model. Essentially, all models are wrong, but some are useful. This is by a statistician who clearly knows the strengths and weaknesses of models, and I love this because it's kind of how I feel about it. You know, being an epidemiologist, when I started working on this, I'm so used to having hard data that when you have a model that uses sometimes estimates, it's really a leap of faith. So it was a hard idea to get used to. But some of the data that's needed to make a mathematical model for showing the benefits of integrating child health information systems isn't available. Like, they don't always have the rate of recommendations for screening rates that are followed up on. So that's where the subject matter experts come in. We ask them, what's your best guess? And we do that state by state, too, when we go in and say, what can you supply us? And this placeholder data that we have right now, that's sort of an educated guess, do you have any better data? And if they do, then we plug it in. So another way to think about models, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know how they build a big skyscraper, and sometimes ahead of time they build this little model of what it's going to look like when it's done? That's for a building model. And for an integrated information system, you take numbers and model what it would be like in the same kind of way. So you can invest in it virtually before you actually invest all your time and money in it. So that's the value of this mathematical model. Another model you may have heard about, at least we have around here, is one that was developed at Georgia Tech to predict what's going to happen when H1N1 comes to Georgia. And these students took trends in data from the last swine flu outbreak and our population as it is now, and they predicted how it's going to spread in Georgia. So they did that so they can plan ahead for healthcare and for food supplying and for other things that may come up during the H1N1 epidemic. So it'll be interesting to see how accurate they were in their model. So that's what a model, and so we talked about the elements for making a business case for integration, what a model is. Now, what is the actual business case model? Essentially, it's just a tool to quantify the benefits and costs of integrating child health information systems. And as we said, this one is for child health information systems, but you can use modeling for other program areas to demonstrate the benefits before you invest in it. So I hope that this talk gives you some ideas for how you might do that for things that you might be working on in your own health agencies. It contains preloaded state-specific data. So every state in the country is in there, and a couple of territories, and New York City and Los Angeles are included. And what it has in there is preloaded data that is state-specific for populations. So each year of age has the number of children in that cohort for each state. And since we don't have that information for the future, what the model does is adjusts to the future years by going by the trends that the states have had in the past. They also adjust by mobility rate, so it's pretty accurate. They include the cost of living for states, so when there is a cost associated with an illness or a special ed or labor, it adjusts to that state's cost of living. So for instance, California would be on the high end and Georgia would probably be on the low end for costs, and the model does that automatically. It has the incidence and prevalence of different illnesses. It has your immunization rates, anything that's readily available in the National Center for Health Statistics is preloaded in here. And we update it as that information becomes available. Some states have more accurate information than we have in the model for some program areas. And so when we find that out, then we can plug that in and the model uses that in precedence over the preloaded data. The business case model also documents projected return on investment. And you know that if you're ever making a case for anything, it always comes down to money. Which it has to, and especially in these economic times, that's a critical factor for making a case. The other important thing that it includes is that it shows the result by stakeholder group. And the way the model does it, it has a private sector that's represented by families, insurers, and employers. The public sector is called the government, and society as a whole is the public and the private sectors together. So that's how the model breaks down by stakeholder what the value is to each of them. So I want you to think about what would happen if you were sitting at your desk one day and your boss came in to you and said you would have to provide a presentation for her for the legislature the next week on justifying integrating costs of information systems. And I want you to think how you might do that and what questions you might ask yourself. So here's what you would have to think about. First of all, we in the business case model, we have assumptions built in. The assumption is that by integrating information systems, the quality of the system as a whole would increase in quality and coordination of care would be better. And you would have better support for healthcare decisions because you would have more complete information. There would be an improvement in data quality and providers would have a complete picture. And therefore, there would be better health outcomes. So those assumptions are built in to the model. So when you are working with a model often will answer the what if question. So what we're trying to answer here is what if our systems were all integrated? What would the result be? So here you are sitting at your desk, and your boss has come in and made this outrageous demand. You have to have this presentation ready for the next week. So first of all, you might start by asking yourself questions that might be asked to document the benefits. So what might you be asked if you were justifying the benefits to the legislature next week? And what might you have to get ready for your boss? So of course, it comes down to money again. What will be the return on investment? What programs will benefit the most? What health benefits can we expect? Is it specific to our population? And how can we make a convincing business case that supports a decision to integrate? So, for those questions to be answered, the business case model uses those assumptions that determine the calculations that need to be done to produce the data that you would need to justify integration. So this particular model, as I said, is specific to child health information systems, but these assumptions can be used for other program areas too as well, and I hope you'll know that this isn't just limited to child health information systems. So this particular model assumes that there is better tracking if the systems are integrated, that there are changes in referral patterns. So for instance, if you had a mom who went into her primary care physician, and the primary care physician had the records from all the other programs at which the child had been seen and saw that the child had been recommended to have a follow-up lead screening because they live in a high lead zip code area, and the mother hadn't done it and didn't think it was important or just forgot or didn't know, then the primary care physician could prompt her to go and get that child retested. And the same if the mother was seen in WIC or early in periodic screening and diagnostics, they would see that same recommendation and would also recommend. So the assumption is if they got reminded more and more times that they would be more likely to get the follow-up that they needed. And that would result in improved efficiency and timeliness of services and improve decision making, because of course if they all had a complete record of the child, then it would be they would have all the information they needed to make a more educated recommendation. So now if you are a visual person, this is the way the assumptions would look. And let me just walk through this a little bit. You see at the top here, this is your cohort of newborns. And these are all the different programs at which they might be seen. So you have vital records and newborn dried blood spot, which you assume everyone will have had. And then there's immunization, women, infants, and children's program, early hearing detection and intervention program, Eddie. Early periodic screening, diagnosis, and treatment program, which some might be seen in, and the lead screening program. So if a child was seen in all or some of these programs and the records were integrated, here's what you might expect. There would be more that were screened and fewer that were not screened when they had recommendations. So again, we go back to that child who may live in a high zip code area. And they would know that that child needed to be screened for blood lead levels because they often have high blood lead levels. So, and fewer would be not screened that needed to be screened. That would result in more positive and negative screen results. And that would result in having more diagnosed if they had a problem. There would be fewer that would be missed or go undiagnosed. And that would result in more early interventions and timely treatments, and less that didn't get those early interventions and timely treatments. And that would increase the benefits for everyone. So now the demonstration of the model itself. And I'm just going to switch between computers here. And see if that works. There it is. So this is the model interface. And I have to tell you that when we first developed this, we very naively thought that if we developed the software and just gave a few classes on it, that everybody who wanted to use it could just use it and produce their own results. Well, it didn't work out that way. It's very complicated. There's a lot of glitches that happen, and I can almost promise you that one of them will happen while I'm doing this demonstration, so you'll see it for yourself. It just is that way. That's just the nature of software. And so what we do instead now is go to the states ourselves and collect the information and generate the report for people, and that works fine. So, but I wanted to show you how it works so you get an idea. So, if you were in a state that was interested in integrating your health information system and you wanted to set up the scenario to be specific to your state, there are certain things that you can pre-select before you run your calculations. And you can run more than one scenario and see which one works out best for you. So, what we're going to do is set up a scenario for Georgia, since we're in Georgia. And so I'm going to load this one that's already been done. So here's what happens when I select Georgia. I could select any state, of course, of the 50 states. But when I select Georgia, that brings up Georgia's population statistics. It brings up Georgia's immunization rates. It brings up our cost of living. So everything there is what the calculations are going to be done on for Georgia. And then I decided to start next year. So we'll start this year, and it'll do the projections for 5 years into the future. Then in Georgia, so far nothing is integrated. So these are the possible systems that can be integrated, and these are the ones we decided we're just going to go for everything. We're going to see what happens if we integrated all the health information system for children in Georgia. And these, if you didn't have some of these newborn dried blood spot screening tests in your state, you could deselect them. But most of these, I think these are all included in all the 50 states now, and some have quite a few more tests than this. So this one is a possibility to have automatic reminders sent to parents and providers. So if there was something, a child was due for his immunization in 2 weeks or something, then a reminder, we decided that parents and providers should be sent a reminder. So that's more likely that the child will get followed up. And we checked that also for these other programs too. We just chose everything because we want to see if this is the best system possible. On this one, there's a possibility for web accessed information for people who have password protected access to that information. So for instance, if a school needed to get information on a child's immunization records to see if they would be able to start school, they would be able to get that on a web-based system. And we decided everything should be in a centralized system, as opposed to, you could also have a decentralized or a hybrid of the two, so you could have some outside the system and some inside the system, and you can specify which are which. But we're going to go with a centralized system. And then because it takes time to establish different patterns and to train people to do things a little bit differently with integration, we put a phase-in rate for those benefits. So you will see this demonstrated in some of the charts when we go through. And that's just to give leverage for getting it started and not being too unrealistic and saying, okay, if we're going to integrate all this stuff, all the benefits will show up right away, because they won't. So next, all we do is save it. And so if I was doing this for another state, or if I wanted to change anything, I could go back and change the scenario. If I wanted to change any of the cost inputs, I could go here and do it. Or if I wanted to change any of the benefits, I could go there and do it as well. But we're not going to do that right now. We're going to go ahead and calculate the results based on the scenario that we did and the assumptions built into the model. So we'll run the calculations and see what it comes up with. So that here's a summary table of the results that it got. And here you see, this is for 1 year, the first year, 2010. And this is the stakeholder group for the private sector. here's the public sector government, and here's the combination of the two. If we wanted to look at the five-year results, we can do that. If we wanted to look at where these numbers came from for specific programs, we can go here and look to see. And I don't expect you to follow all these numbers. I'm just giving you, I know it's hard to keep track of numbers anyway, but I'm just kind of showing you a walkthrough. So if you wanted to see more details afterward, I'm happy to show you. I just wanted to orient you to what it does. So these are the details of the early hearing detection and intervention program. So over 5 years in our state, if all our records were integrated, we could expect 16,000 more screenings from kids who didn't do well on their first, in their newborn hearing screening. And that would result in 2,044 being recommended for follow-up exam. And here, these numbers, I think, are very interesting because these are the kids that would get early intervention that wouldn't have gotten it if the records hadn't been integrated. Okay, so remember I told you that Indiana was using one of the charts, using the tables and charts? The first one that I showed you was one of the ones that they used. And now the program is thinking, sometimes it has to rest, and so that's what it's doing right now. So what they used is that very first chart, that very first table that I showed you, that was separated into stakeholder groups, and it had all the numbers, so they could look at the exact numbers. This one. And so this is one that they used. They used the five-year summary for this one. And because they only had 15 minutes, they used this one, and they also used some charts. The main one that they used was a summary chart. And what the summary chart does is takes the information that's in that first table and does an illustration of it. So this is what it would look like over 5 years if all these child health information systems were integrated. And this is what it would look like each year. So each of these bars is a snapshot year by year. So this isn't the accumulated effect. This is year by year what the benefits would be. So you can see that immunization doesn't look like it has much of an advantage of being integrated. That's because Georgia already has a very high immunization rate. So by integrating, you wouldn't expect it to change very much. And the same with newborn dried blood spot screening. There's already 100% or near 100% on newborn dried blood spot screening. But by integrating, these programs make it more useful to the other programs. When the other programs get this information, it helps them out. So sometimes the benefits are reflected in the other programs. The program that shows a loss is early and periodic screening, diagnostics, and testing. This one loses because there are so many additional screenings that are done. And because this program goes just up to age 5, and often the children are referred to other programs, they end up doing the screenings and paying for it. But the benefits, again, are reflected in some of these other programs. So another example of what the charts look like, this one is for immunization. This is what would look like as a result of integrating all the child health information systems. This means that your immunizations, there would be savings from invalid immunizations that would be avoided, savings from extra immunizations avoided. And if you've ever had multiple children and taken them to a pediatrician's office and the pediatrician says to you, well, have they all gotten their MMR? And you don't have that little piece of paper, sometimes you don't remember. And you think you will not forget. And if you don't know, and if they don't have a record anyplace else, they may give the child an extra immunization. So this would result also in savings in medical costs of vaccine-preventable diseases and productivity gained from reduced mortality and morbidity. And this may mean the parents not having to take off time from work. Those numbers are also included in here. So the net effect is pretty marked. And it also shows for immunization the cases of vaccine-preventable diseases that will be prevented after integration. So this also is one that gets people's attention. So what the model does is it has tables like this for each of the child health programs. It does it by stakeholder group, so you can look at just the private sector or just the public sector or society as a whole. You can look at details related to each of the programs. Let me just show you examples of the other programs that it models. So you can see an example. I don't know if you're all from different programs are more interested in one than the other, but the ones that show the most benefit almost universally are early hearing and lead screening. So this would be the savings to society as a whole, which is the public and the private sector together, if the records were integrated. Because early hearing screening detection and diagnostics is almost 100% on newborns, but the follow-up rate on recommended follow-up screenings is not very high in a lot of states, including Georgia, that a lot of children are missed and they end up having significant hearing loss. Whereas if they had had early intervention, they would have better hearing or better ways to adapt to their hearing loss if they have significant hearing loss, and that would increase their lifetime productivity, and it would also help in savings in special education. So the net effect is pretty marked. And with lead screening, you see initially here, it's going to cost more because the initial screenings and the additional screenings are just going to cost more money. And also, the same is true for environmental assessments. If a kid has a very high lead level, they're going to recommend that their house gets assessed, or their area and your yard and everything, and that's pretty expensive too. So, but the long-term effects of early intervention would be similar to those in the hearing, in that you would have fewer costs for special education and there would be an increase in lifetime productivity. So even though there's a loss here for costs for extra screening, the net effect is really very significant. For EPSDT and WIC, there is a loss. And we talked about that a little bit when we were looking at the table. The loss is because here it says these are for additional screenings. And this is year by year again, a snapshot of what it would look like. There is some savings in medical care, but the net effect is negative because the effects aren't reflected in this program. They are reflected in other programs, but this program would lose money. So the point has to be made that the savings comes in other places. In WIC, this is society as a whole. If you looked at the savings to families, here's what families save in food costs. If you look at those food costs from the government's perspective, because they pay for that food, it looks like a loss for them. And to society as a whole, they cancel each other out. The net effects, even though there are more administrative costs because more kids are seen and so more costs are required, that is a negative, but it makes up for it more than enough in the medical savings and other benefits because the kids have better nutrition. And so the net effect is positive. And the last program that we included is for the economic effects of integrating birth defects registry. This program doesn't realize as big a financial gain because the follow-up for birth defects is already very high. So that's the reason that there's not as much money saved for birth defects. So there are other charts that are available that show different aspects, and I would be happy to show more of those to you afterwards. But I wanted to just say, if anyone has a state where they're interested in getting this done, we're a nonprofit, we have this tool available, and we can go there and help you put the numbers together. And I also have copies of the reports for Oregon and Oklahoma, and as soon as I get their okay to say it's all right to share those results, I can get those to you. Indiana has already okayed it, so I have their results. But we have one person here that where I worked with Dina Dickerson in Oregon to put together a report for her. And as I said, we're next going to work with Iowa and New York State. So that's all I have, and I think we're going to take questions now after each presentation instead of waiting till the very end to ask them for both. So if anyone has questions, I am happy to answer them, and I'm also happy to stay afterwards and show you more demonstrations.
Any questions?
Let me say first, before we do any questions, this is all possible. You know, we're a nonprofit, but we got our funding to do this from HRSA and also from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the people who developed the software were from the Lewin Group. So I also want to thank the people in the community of practice who did the pilot testing for us and the PHII staff who got this all going. And if you want more information on the model, here are some ways you can access me or the information about the model. So, any questions? Yeah?
All right. Does the model take into account savings related to reduced data entry or reduced administrative costs related to information may be passed in between now, but it may be done via paper or some other non-integrated way? So it takes into account that savings?
It does. And yeah, I can show you that actually, except now I'm not up there. There is a, and it's really very conservative in the numbers it does that way, but it figures how many minutes are saved per child per year in a physician's office, for instance, on retrieving information on immunizations, on hearing, on all those things. And it uses the current labor statistics to figure out the hourly wage for those people. And then it figures out how many times they have to re-enter data, so it does have that information.
Is there a sharing of information now between the programs that's not integrated? Like, do they send reports to each other, or?
I'm sure that some do, yeah.
I wonder if there'd be some savings there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's lots of different areas where there can be savings. Any other questions? Okay, as I said, I am happy to do more of a demonstration. If you want to look at your own state, I'm happy to do that afterwards. But I'll turn it over to Brian now.